start the countdown to kickoff of the college football season.
Birdie has it tipped and intercepted by Baylor. Intercepted at the 20. Gorman Randolph.
Split wide left. Chapin looking up top. He's looking for Ebner. Ebner's open. He has it. Touchdown, Bears. A 61-yard score.
Ebner angling that pitch upfield. Ebner is on his feet. Ebner into the sideline. He is tiptoeing the sideline. And he is in to the house.
It's Unsportsmanlike Conduct's 25 teams in 25 days.
To team number 12 in 25 teams in 25 days, the defending champs in the Big 12, the Baylor Bears, perhaps keeping Oklahoma State out of the 2021 CFP. And as we preview the Bears, we welcome in the voice of Baylor football, John Morris. John, thank you for taking the time. How are you today?
Doing great, guys. Good to be on with you. So we're right smack dab in the middle, huh? Number 12 of your top 25.
Indeed. A fascinating team, John. I guess let's just kind of start broad, big picture as this program enters year three of football under Dave Aranda. What would you say, or where would you say, I guess, they're at timeline-wise? Ahead of schedule, on schedule? I can't imagine anyone would say that they're behind.
Yeah, no, I would say ahead of schedule. Excuse me. And that includes Dave's first year here, which was really a mulligan year with COVID and, you know, meeting his players over Zoom and meeting his players' families over Zoom. No spring practice that first year and having games, you know, we had one game canceled on a Friday afternoon. So that was his first year going through all that. And predictably, you know, the record was 2-7, although we did play some teams fairly close. But to go from 2-7 his first year to have a full year to turn things around and be 12-2, really the best season in Baylor football history last year. Big 12 champs, Sugar Bowl champs. I think anybody you ask would say Baylor would be ahead of schedule under Coach Aranda.
John, with Coach Aranda, I guess what was the level of concern or maybe the level of surprise last year when all of the teams that kind of seemed to come calling that might want to pry Aranda away from Baylor, what was the level of concern that he might leave and the level of surprise that it didn't really seem like he entertained that at all?
Yeah, that's a fair question. But, you know, honestly, I didn't have that much concern. Maybe that's naivete on my part. But you know, he just fits Baylor so well. And he and his wife, Dion, and their family, they like Waco so much. And, you know, he had just gotten here, you know, just 2 years in at Baylor. And to me, Dave's not a guy that's a job hopper at all. So there was some concern in some ranks, you know, that a team like USC, and he's from Southern California, you know, that might be enticing to him. Or, you know, certainly some others were possibilities also. LSU, you know, where he came from, where he won a national championship as the DC in 2019. So, you know, they were probably valid concerns, but I tell you, he just fits here so well, and I think he appreciates that. And he appreciates the relationship he has with our athletic director, Mac Rhodes. So I'm glad he's here, and I hope he's here for a long, long time.
John Morris joining us right now as we preview team number 12 in our composite poll, the Baylor Bears in 25 teams in 25 days. John, let's look at the offense. A quarterback change late in the year as Blake Chapin took over. Last couple of starts in the regular season, including the Big 12 championship win over Oklahoma State. What's the hope for him this season? What's the expectation?
You know, it was a really good quarterback competition between he and Gary Bohannon. Gary was the incumbent, went out with a hamstring injury against Kansas State late in the year. Blake finished off that game with a win and then won the regular season finale and started and won the Big 12 championship game. And then the competition between those two was just really, really tight, really high level of competition in the spring. And Dave Aranda said he was going to name a starter at the end of spring. And everybody said, no, don't do that. You know, don't name a starter because you could predict whoever was named the starter was going to leave, you know, was going to transfer. But Dave, true to his word, named Blake the starter at the end of spring. And sure enough, Gary Bohannon transferred to USF, and I hope he does really well there. But, you know, Blake won the competition. He's got a strong arm. He's very savvy back there at quarterback. He can run if he needs to. He is a sophomore, I guess. The third-year sophomore is what he would be. But to me, he seems very sort of mature beyond his years. And I think he's the guy. So it's going to be fun to see, you know, how he responds when he's handed the reins for the entire season.
John, going into this year, I know that, you know, you lose some production on the defensive side of the ball as well as at some of the skill positions on offense. What position group would you point to as the strength of this team? And then what position group do you have the most questions about?
Yeah, I would say strength would be both lines. Maybe if I had to pick one, I'd say the offensive line, because all those guys but one are back. They're fifth-year seniors. Connor Galvin is the left tackle that anchors that line. He's the Big 12 offensive lineman of the year from last year. So that offensive line, and in this offense, this wide zone offense, you guys know, really is predicated on how well the line play is. So that's huge to get those guys back. And then the defensive line is about the same. Everybody back, adding a transfer, a guy named Jackson Player from Tulsa. So those two lines are really, really solid and the best places to start. You know, if you're going to say what's the strength of your team, if you say both lines, you know, I'd feel pretty comfortable with that. The questions would be in the skill positions. Running back, we lost our top two running backs. Receiver, we lost three of our top four receivers from last year. So there's guys that are here that I think are going to be pretty good, but they're just sort of unproven right now, and they haven't played a whole lot, and they haven't really started at all. So those would be the questions going in at those skill positions.
John, I wanted to follow up on the defensive line. As you mentioned, defensive tackle out of Tulsa, Jackson Player, he joined a native of Waco, two-time All-AC or AAC selection, not to mention the whole two deep is back as well. Like how good can that unit be with the it's going to be like a hockey line being able to rotate as much as they can.
Yeah, and isn't that a luxury, you know, to for those guys to know, hey, I can get out there, I can go 100 miles an hour knowing that if I need to come out for a break, somebody's going to step in and you don't miss a thing. So to have that depth and be able to rotate those guys in the defensive line, I mean, Dennis Johnston's our defensive line coach. You know, you couldn't ask for a better situation than that. And there's a guy to keep your eye on. His name is Tiaki Apu-Ika. Apu's his nickname. Apu-Ika at the nose tackle spot. He is really good. He's first team preseason All Big 12. And he just occupies two blockers every time he's out there. And he's a guy that really disrupts an offense. And transferred to Baylor from LSU. He was really good last year, but I think he can be even better this year.
John, what's a reasonable expectation for this year coming off of a 12-win season?
Oh, man, that's tough. I hate, you know, answering that question. I appreciate the question, but I hate answering it because if I say 10 wins, then you're going to say, well, which two are you going to lose? You know? And that's not fair. Here's the other thing to factor in. We had a really favorable schedule last year.
Sure.
We played BYU in Waco and won over them on homecoming. We played Oklahoma and Texas in Waco, Iowa State in Waco last year. So it was really a favorable schedule, which means this year it is the opposite. So we go to Norman, we go to Austin, we go to Ames, we go to Morgantown. So it's going to be a very challenging schedule this year. And, you know, maybe I'm hedging, you know, my prediction because of that. But if Baylor were to get to 12 wins again this year, like they did last year, I mean, they will really have to earn it with that number of road games they've got.
John, before we let you go, you've been calling games for this program since the 80s. I mean, there were some lean years, especially early on in the Big 12, and you know, over the last, what, decade and a half, we've seen some real high highs, and we've obviously seen a couple of low lows as well. Like, well, I guess, how have you been able to take all of this in, because I'm 33. When I'm growing up, Baylor was an afterthought, you know, in the Big 12. Sure. And now they have become, oddly, especially in the new iteration of the league in the coming years, they're going to be, I think, one of those stable programs, especially if Dave Aranda is going to be there for a while. What's it been like to watch this team up close become what they have?
Well, you probably remember, you know, you said Baylor was an afterthought. And that was, unfortunately, right at the dawn of the Big 12.
Yeah.
You know, in 96, you know, Baylor was just really struggling. And that's not a good way to go into a new conference. And Nebraska was rolling at that time, you know, I think coming off back-to-back national championships. And I can remember a game in Lincoln, maybe it was 96, maybe 97, but I mean, it was 49-0 at halftime, and it could have been named the score.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Steele was our head coach, and so I think they called off the dogs because of Kevin Steele. But seriously, I mean, you could have named the score that day. But that's where we were, and to think about where the program is now and how solid it is now, it's a real credit to our leadership. You know, our president Linda Livingstone, who is athletic minded. I'll say that. You know, she played basketball at Oklahoma State, and she sees the benefit, you know, of a very solid athletic program. And then our athletic director, Mac Rhodes, is just doing a fantastic job running the program, but also identifying and hiring coaches when he needs to. Like, he found Matt Rhule, and look what Matt Rhule did in 3 years. He leaves and he goes and finds Dave Aranda, and look what Dave has done in 2 years. So just really good leadership here. And it's just, you know, across the board, really, men's basketball, the national championship 2 years ago, women's basketball, you know, with three national championships. And so across the board, it's just really solid. And I would credit our coaches that are in place and the leadership here at Baylor for, you know, really turning things around from the way it used to be.
John Morris, the voice of the Baylor Bears, team number 12 in our composite poll. John, thank you so much for the time. We really enjoyed the conversation.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on, and good luck getting the season going.
Hey, you too. Thanks, John. Enjoy the year.
Thank you.
John Morris joining us here on Sportsman Iconic. This is a, like I said, like what a program over the last 15 years.
He touched on something really interesting there about their ability to hire coaches. They have
incredible
nailed
the last
three straight hires. Like, listen, I understand the Art Briles thing ended in disgrace,
yeah,
but from a football perspective, they nailed that.
Yeah, I mean, he's so far ahead of the game in terms of what he was trying
to
do on the
field.
They nailed
the Matt Rhule hire.
Yep.
So much so that he gets poached by an NFL team.
Yeah.
And it appears that they have nailed the Dave Aranda hire. If I had told you last year at the end of the season that Nebraska was in talks to hire Dave Aranda.
Oh, my gosh.
You would have been thrilled, right?
Yeah, I think everybody would
thrilled
be.
To death.
Yeah.
Look at the defenses he's had at Wisconsin, then LSU, and then what he's done at Baylor. You would have been thrilled to death. Baylor has nailed three straight coaching hires.
Yeah.
And Nebraska has flubbed five in a row.
Their win total this year, 7.5, as I mentioned. They got the BYU game in week two.
That's
a big
one.
In week two. And by the way, that's the week where Nebraska has a night game. So as we all enjoy Big Red Overreaction together, we can watch the Baylor at BYU game out there in Provo. Texas State, and Albany are the other two games in the non-con, so pretty easy. At Iowa State early, Oklahoma State at home, Texas, of course, to finish up the year. Oklahoma is in early November. They finish, Ravi, with three road games in their remaining five games. And four in their last, seven. So they go on the road quite a few times.
It's a tough schedule.
Late in the year. Yeah, it absolutely is. I definitely like the over.
Yes.
By the way, it shades healthily towards, you got to lay a little money down. But yeah, I think I like
them for nine wins pretty solidly.
Yeah, I wonder what happens if they do that again. If they win nine, if they win 10, like what is the viewpoint of Dave Aranda? Because he signed that deal, as I thought you asked a great question. He signed that deal, and I mean, he's there
in theory
until 2029.
I thought he was going to LSU. It made too much sense.
Yeah.
He had the time there as the defensive coordinator. It's a huge job. And it seemed like he fit in at LSU while he was there. I thought that was a no-brainer for both parties. Obviously, as John mentioned, Southern Cal made a lot of sense with his ties to the Southern California area. But for whatever reason, I never really felt like that was, I don't know, the Southern Cal thing never really stuck with me. The LSU thing, I thought he was gone. Like, to me, I was like, this is a formality. He's going to ride out the season with Baylor to be respectful, and then we're done here. And the fact that they were able to keep him is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it almost felt like, not that they didn't care if they kept him or not, but with their success of hiring coaches,
it's almost like, yeah, they would have gotten somebody else.
I was going to say, some schools kind of operate that way, especially schools that understand they're not necessarily destination jobs. When they've had a high level of success with hiring new coaches, they're kind of like, okay, well, we can't afford you anymore. We'll hire someone new.
And I'll add one more thing. You know, like, there's a obviously a large subset of college football fans that don't know of a world where Nebraska is good, and an older fan would tell them, and they're like, let me tell you, Nebraska used to be like the Alabama of their era. And they're like, wow, really? You can do the exact opposite and talk to somebody and be like, yeah,
yeah,
Baylor used to suck.
You calling them an afterthought was incredibly gracious.
They went years, didn't they, without winning a conference game?
Yes, it was horrific.
Let me find it.
They were like worse than Kansas bad.
So they joined the Big 12. Here are the number. You ready for this? Here are the number of conference games that they won between 1996 and, I guess, let's just go to 07. 1-1-1-0-0-0-1-1-1-2-3-0. And then they hire Art Briles. And they go 2-6, 1-7.
Yeah,
and then
they're 4-8 in their first 2 years.
Yep,
and under Art Briles.
And then they rip off a bull stretch. Like, one of
the last 13 years have been outside of the weird Jim Grobe year when Art Briles got fired.
Even then, they went to a bowl game.
But, you know, the first year under Matt Rhule was bad.
And the first year under Aranda
was bad. But other than that, you've had the one transition year for each coach, and then boom, you're off to the races.
The one sneaky thing that we never talk about with Nebraska leaving the league is, like, they got out just in time because Baylor, some of those teams would have. I mean, look, maybe
can
Nebraska.
Can you imagine what was the RG3?
The Heisman year was 11. And Nebraska, thankfully,
didn't play them.
They
that
would
year.
Not have played them. They played that. So they got to play RG3 as a freshman in 08. He got hurt in that game.
Yep.
Bo's first year. In 2009, I think RG3 was hurt again that season.
Yeah, I don't think he played.
And then in 2010, they weren't on the schedule. 2011, Nebraska was in the Big Ten. But, yeah, they avoided them. And then, I mean, then they rip off. I mean, that 13 and 4, those 13, 14
yeah, well,
teams
was
were
that,
great. 11-2,
like
11-2.
Jared Stidham, was that?
I believe so. Yeah, I mean, those
Jared
are the
Stidham
team,
years.
The 14 team, they won half of the league title. You know, they were.
They ripped off a stretch there where.
They played Fiesta Cotton. Sugar. I mean, you know, not all in a row, but they played.
You're playing the real big, like, traditional bowl games against traditional powers. Like, they didn't, they weren't just sticking around in the bowl scene. They were going to big games and winning 10, 11, 12 games a year.
Yeah. Last year they go 12-2, their best season of all time. Coming up tomorrow, Oklahoma State, the team they beat in the Big 12 championship game. They're up next in 25 teams in 25 days and then on to the top 10. When we return, it is time for unsportsmanlike content. Today, are roughing the passer penalties going away? What the hell's going on with the New England Patriots and cell phones?
Cell phones, you say?
Cell phones. And Nick, you're not going to be triggered this time. All of that is coming up next on 1620 The Zone.